KFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey loyalty program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars,
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop?
Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
Welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for your listening pleasure, episode number 179, recorded November 27th, 2015, Black Friday. Yay, I guess.
I have a Friday!
Yes. Yes. I think Headmaster Dawn's face is perfect for what our feelings of Black Friday is. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't mean the smiling face that he just gave right there that's being a little bit cheeky, I'm sure. He has his own perspective on the matter, I'm sure.
After 18 years with my company, I've been through a few of these.
So. Just a few. Well, I've actually been in a Walmart before where I remember whenever Forza 4 came out, they had some kind of Black Friday deal where it was like brand new release games. There were some brand new release games. They had them for like 15 or 20 bucks. And I'm like, you know, to save about 30, 40 bucks, you know, I'm going to go and I'm going to try to get Forza 4 for the Xbox 360. I showed up to that Walmart and there was, you know, a horde around this pallet in produce. Instead of letting people line up and, you know, and as they came up, you know, ask them what game they wanted and hand it to them, let them go to the register and pay for it. No, they just let people corral around this thing. And whenever you see police standing there waiting for them to open the pallet, you know something's about to go wrong. So I kind of held back, and when they cut the wrap on it, people started lunging toward it. The employee said back up. Then they made things worse by reaching into the pallet, grabbing handfuls of games, and then throwing them up in the air for people to reach for. And the moment stopped whenever there was a person reached down to try to grab a game that had fell to the ground, and somebody cold cocked somebody from the side with a fist to get the game. Police stepped in and said, "Hold on, you know, everybody back up." And while they were backing people up, I reached over, grabbed a copy of Forza 4, just walked to the register. But that was, I'm like, I'm not doing this again.
A lot of this, you know, I've worked retail for a lot of companies, and basically it probably started out as a line before you got there.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time you got there, everyone had just said, "Look at all the you-know-whats I don't give on the rules," and the line just sort of degenerated into just a pile of people.
And they weren't clear as to where the games were because, like I said, this pallet was in produce. And instead of having it back in at or near electronics, Because, see, initially there was a line. Whenever I first got there, I went back to electronics. So I was, well, it's a video game, you know. I didn't think to look in produce.
Well, the reason for that is so that way you don't have all the stuff in the same area. You know, when I was at Service Merchandise, we did that because I ran my electronics department for Service Merchandise. It was about a $6 million a year department. And all of our Black Friday stuff was actually in sporting goods, because sporting goods was, that's not something you would really go for Black Friday in most cases. So a lot of my stuff was up there. So that way it wasn't all right in front of my registers or in my area where you couldn't even move as it was because of all the stuff we had. So that's why they split it up like that, is so that way you don't have everything in one section.
I kind of understand that, but at the same time, I'm like, the whole idea is kind of dumb. But anyway, well, Black Friday, I just wish that it was done totally different. But
well, all you have to do is go to YouTube, look at the videos of how they do it in the UK. Everyone is nice. They're orderly. They hold doors for people. We can learn something from that.
Although I'm sure there are some instances of that over there too. But anyway, you know, this episode is not about Black Friday stories or anything like that. We're here to talk about Transformers. This is Transformers for your listening pleasure. I am Daron Land, your host, Weird Wolf. Along with me tonight is Headmaster Don. And also Marani Prime, a.k.a. Jim Black.
Hi there.
Everybody else, I believe, are either traveling or spending the weekend with family.
Or in a food coma.
Yeah, or in a food coma from Thanksgiving. I had a little bit of a Thanksgiving yesterday with my girlfriend and her mom, but we haven't I didn't get a chance to spend
perhaps
it with family.
Perhaps they have crap heads like me.
Yeah. but I didn't get a chance to spend the week or the day with my parents until tomorrow. I'm going to town. It's about an hour and a half away where my parents live. So I'm going to go down there and spend the day with them and then come back. And it's time to put up the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
So,
I got to ask y'all both, did both of y'all have deviled eggs with your meals yet?
Yes.
Absolutely. Actually, we did. But I had a 5-year-old eat about 3/4 of the tray.
Okay. Did you use mayonnaise or Miracle Whip?
I really don't know. I just ate them.
A little bit of both. Because, see, one of them has a milk base, the other one has an egg white base. And, you know, some people like one, some people like the other, but if you blend them together, I think it works better. Put some mustard in it, some paprika.
Yeah, I was just wondering, because I get a lot of grief from the guys at RFC about my liking, how much I like Miracle Whip. And
you like Miracle Whip?
Miracle Whip. And I prefer it over mayonnaise in my deviled eggs. And the year Mom passed away, Brian asked me if I wanted to go down there for Christmas, because she died right before Christmas. I said, sure. He said, well, can we make you anything? And I told him that I like that Mom always made the deviled eggs a Miracle Whip. And there's this stunned silence on the phone because I'm talking to him. He says, what? So I just was wondering if I was still the only person. Anyway.
I'm sure I've ate them like that before, yeah. But I don't know. I don't know how to make them. I don't care. Yeah. You know, it's like they're not they can be tasty, but they're not exactly my favorite snack either.
Well,
so.
Worst case scenario, when it comes to the decision between mayonnaise and Miracle Whip and a deviled egg, on one hand, you could have milk on your egg, or the other hand, you can have egg on your egg. That's really all it boils down to.
Yeah.
Spoil.
But then you have egg on your face.
Yes. But tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about the recent reveals. I want to say reveals, but they weren't really reveals because we already knew about them coming. But it was the first time we actually saw some CAD official CAD renders and some artwork around certain characters. Hasbro had a Google Hangout with some people that are in the fandom, and a lot of people got to see them. and some great stuff there. We're going to give our thoughts on a couple of the items. But the bulk of this episode, we're going to get personal with our collections. we're going to get personal with our collections. We're going to talk about any funny stories, any stories, any prize pieces that we may have in our collections, talk a little bit about them, just kind of delve into why our collections are the way they are and what makes them personal to us. I know we covered several episodes back, what happens to our collections when we die. Check out that episode. I know it sounds kind of grim, but, you know, if you never ever considered what you're going, what would happen with your collection when you pass, which is inevitable for everyone, check it out. There's some great thoughts on that.
Wasn't that close to 30 episodes ago?
Yeah, it's been some time, but you can go to tftalk.net and do a search for it, and I'm sure it'll come up. But we've talked about certain aspects of our collections before, but never actually delved into our collections and what makes them personal to us. I hope that some of the other cast members are able to, maybe on a different episode, able to get the opportunity to do the same thing, because our collections are us in the fandom. If you really stop and think about it, our collections are the toys is largely what drives us to be fans. You know, we love the toys. You know, I picked up GDO Wheelie again today, this second time I've owned him, but there was a local comic book shop had 25% off on all toys and had him marked at like 20. So, and I got him in RID Prime Viacon. So not too shabby. But you know, why do we chase after these little pieces of plastic? Why do we collect what we collect? And for each and every one of us, it's a very personal story. And while I'm sure we could sit and talk for hours upon hours about each of our collections, because, you know, if you really stop and think about it, our collections as a collector in this fandom is the most important things to us personally, I would think. The camaraderie and the friends that we make throughout the fandom are very important to us as well. But deep down, what keeps us fans is what keeps what we keep on our shelves, in my opinion. Do you guys have any thoughts on that? Or
no, that's definitely, you know, I think that's hit the nail on the head. No matter what you collect, it's pretty much, I would say, there are things that are weighted heavier, like the toys are weighted heavier for a lot of people. Maybe the comics are more important than the toys, but it's the sum total of all the experiences, you know, versus say if you collected just X and there was no cartoon, there was no comic, it was just the toy, you would have to like the toy. But you can be a part of the fandom and like any part of it.
Well, I mean, even if you're a fan and all you collect is the comic books, that is your collection.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a fan of the cartoons and all you get are the DVD box sets and you could care less about the toys, then that is your collection. That's what drives you. I'm thinking everybody on our show,
still there?
Yeah. So, no. Did I lock up for a second?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why. I think it's something wrong with one of my drives on my computer, and my whole computer locks up. So if I freeze for a moment, that's why.
Please.
Yes. But before we delve into our collections a little bit more, let's talk about Titans Return.
Absolutely.
There was a few things that was revealed, actually officially, for the first time about a week or so ago in a Google Hangout with supporters and people that are close to Hasbro and certain media outlets. We got to see artwork for Titans Return Fortress Maximus. And also some CAD renders for Power Master Optimus Prime, Titans Return Power Master Optimus Prime. Yeah. I think those were the two big reveals, I believe.
Plus the voting for the
next time. Yeah, I want to get to that in a second. We'll talk a little bit about that at Trypticon. But, yeah, but you know, Trypticon is a winner, and Trypticon and
he did win. He did win.
I don't know. I hope so. I mean, from the last time I looked, it looked like Trypticon was winning.
Are the results out? I mean, have they released that?
I don't know about that either.
I wasn't sure if they had published it just yet or not.
Yeah, but Fortress Maximus, Don, let's hear what you think about the artwork for Fortress Maximus.
The artwork makes him look very interesting. There's a lot of discussion on just how much of Metroplex there is in Fortress Maximus versus how much is new molding.
It looks considerable, actually.
It looks like now this was brought up. I saw this on Twitter originally, I believe. Is it basically? Some of the same engineering cues, but a completely different mold. Some people are saying the ramps on the back of Fortress Maximus's arms are Metroplexes. See, I don't have that Metroplex, so I can't say whether this because I've got Utopia. I can't validate this stuff from what I'm hearing. But it's almost like, you know, if you look at G2 smokescreen. And Energon Starscream, they're completely different toys, but they share the exact same transformation.
Yep.
So, right. I mean, we could be looking at something that's two nearly completely different toys sharing a lot of the same engineering. So, there's
hopefully you guys can see that I'm sharing a picture of it.
Yeah. The big thing I'm happy about is they are including it as a double headmaster. Which means there's going to be either a Nebulan, a human, or a smaller robot like Plasma from RID as part of the. Personally, my personal headcanon is the human component of Fortress Maximus will hopefully be Verity from the comics somehow, which would be a really nice parallel to what happened to Hunter early on in the series.
Oh, a Sunstreaker.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my personal headcanon of what I want to see happen. But it could be a new character they're going to introduce. It could be a smaller robot like the robot that works the small figure IDW Magnus is not really Magnus. He's the smaller robot inside.
Minimus Ambus.
Yeah, so it could be another character like Minimus Ambus who's sharing Fortress Maximus's spark to help control this behemoth of a transformer. Because I don't think in the comics he's like this big. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But
I'll tell you what. First thing I thought of when I saw Fort Max was the anniversary of RID 1.0 coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how long it's going to take before we end up with a Car Robots repaint of that.
Well, problem is, though, we still haven't got Metro Titan out of Metroplex.
That's true.
So maybe they're saving the obvious repaints for, like, when they need to fill in off-movie years. And they need something big and attention-getting for that year when there's not movie toys. Again, I'm guessing. I don't know for sure. But I like Fortress Maximus. I can't wait to see how the execution. It's going to be a little bit. It's going to be pricey. At estimated retail of $180. But again, you've got double power masters. You're going to have a lot of add-ons and stuff. And then, of course, you're going to have your SDCC possible repaint. Your other ones where you're swapping out the gun.
Wouldn't it be awesome if we actually got a Grand Max?
Well, I mean, he's got the Godsword. I mean, you know, having that recolored as Grand Maximus for SDCC makes the most sense because Grand Max came with a sword. Of course, he was the Pretender, but there's no Pretender concept here. But that would make the most sense.
Plus, you compare it with Power Master Prime or Jinrai.
Yeah. But
I'm trying to find pictures of said toy. But
yeah, I'm all for Fortress Maximus. I can't wait for him to come. Hopefully, I'll see him more than I saw Metroplex because I saw Metroplex one time at one Toys R Us spider wired on the counter at the front desk. That's all I ever saw.
Yep.
Wow. There's a lot of pictures of the Ironhide here. I'm like, are there any other pictures of Power Master Prime? Well, here's one right here. I guess this is the best one we're going to find.
Yeah.
I've got a chair here in a minute.
Okay. But this is the artwork, the package artwork. And obviously it's a very heavy retool of Combiner Wars Ultra Magnus. But what makes this special is the fact that he is a Titan Master, a.k.a. Headmaster, instead of a Power Master.
The way I understand it, I think it was Benson E's commentary on it, was that it uses extremely little from the original Magnus mold. Completely new arms, just on and on. Same basic transformation and design overall, but very little from the original Magnus incarnation of the figure.
It's another one of those different toys, very similar in engineering almost.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. like the Fort Max, whenever I look at that, it looks so different from Generations Metroplex. And from the pictures that I've seen, it looks like it may even transform. You can transform it slightly differently to make it a completely different kind of city mode, too, or a base mode.
I wouldn't see why not.
Well, and don't forget the ever impressive flight mode, where he's basically space luging.
Yeah. Power Master Prime as an actual headmaster is, and why? What do you guys think on that? As Power Master Prime as a headmaster instead of a Power Master, I have to admit I was a little bit disappointed that he didn't have an engine that stuck to his chest, even though he clearly has a thing that looks like it would apply to his chest, but it's not the Power Master itself.
Well, as far as Power Master Prime goes, I got to say, I am absolutely stoked for this. Looking at the chest for this new version, I wasn't sure if they were going for the kind of the engine look of the combined Power Master, like we have in G1 in the front of the cab, or if they were going more for a God Bomber chest plate. So, I mean, it could be either or. I'm not sure. But as far as the Headmaster gimmick, or the Titan Master, as it is now, I don't know if you guys recall the original Power Master Prime Jinrai from 88 was intended to also be a Headmaster in addition to a Power Master. The head, the reason it's so large and blocky, it was originally meant to be Roller, and they were going to have Roller transform into the head, but that idea was scrapped. In the final production.
Yeah. You know, it's when I see a Power Master Prime's chest plate, I'm reminded of a scene from Brave from Dagwon, and when Fire In combines with Fire Dagwon, while he's transforming, his car mode goes in his chest, and then Fire Dagwon's chest closes up to cover him inside. I keep thinking in my head, if I'm visualizing the transformation for Power Master Prime, I keep thinking that chest piece can pull down, and there would be a Genrai under that. So when he transforms, Genrai connects to the chest, and then that chest piece comes up to cover him. That's what I keep thinking when I see that chest. And I'm like you, Duran, I kind of wish he was a Power Master. Maybe the Power Master. Don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm totally stoked for this figure. Yeah, I am. I'm going to knock down old ladies to go get this toy. But it's a great looking figure. But you know, the fanboy in me is a little bit disappointed with some of the things that was out there.
Well, I can kind of see how you would think that with the chest plate, and that would actually be a neat idea if it wasn't for the way the cab is already designed.
Yeah. You still could have been, to me, in my head, it could have been a Titan Master, because when Genrai connected as an engine, it could have activated the head coming up.
Yeah.
So you would have that still be the head would still be involved in the transformation.
And something else I thought of, too, okay, in Magnus, in the Combiner Wars Magnus mold here, you cannot have Minimus Ambus drive the cab in semi mode because Magnus's head is in the way.
But they have changed it to where you can do that now.
Right. I'm thinking in the Power Master Prime incarnation, you know, if being a headmaster, you wouldn't have that issue. So I don't see any reason why you can't be in there to drive it.
Yeah, because there's no head inside there to be.
And he's dead again. Awesome. But as I recall, isn't the head in this one called Apex? And kind of a nod to the Apex Bomber God Bomber.
Yeah, that's not sure what it is called.
There he is.
I want to say it's Apex.
Well, no, Apex is the name I've been hearing mostly as well.
Let's see here. I think there is a problem with my backup drive here, so that is why I'm freezing. I'm sorry, people. It's a technical issue. I think my backup drive is starting to die on me.
We're still here, though.
Yeah. So if I do freeze or something, just continue on. I believe Megamus may be joining us very shortly. So.
All right, good.
That would explain all the connection problems.
Yes.
Yes.
But, you know, that also makes me think, before we move on and talk about the fan vote, let's talk about our sponsors. CapturePrey.com, great toys, great prices, great service, CapturePrey.com, where there is currently a Black Friday deal section going on. So go on over to CapturePrey.com and click on the Black Friday specials. And see what's on there. There's some great stuff. G2 Masterpiece Bumblebee for, I think, like $50. And a lot of great stuff on there. So check it out. I know Combiner Wars stuff is on sale. If you enter in a code, you can get so much off on Combiner Wars stuff. So head on over to our sponsor, Capture Prey, and check them out at www.capturepray.com. And, Jim, you want to tell everybody about our other sponsor?
Well, first off, I just want to say, everybody loves Brack Friday! I don't know if you guys remember Space Ghost, Brack.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's Space Ghost.
I watched Space Ghost, but I don't remember that. I
mean, yeah.
It did not last indelibly in my memory.
Yeah, I probably like the TFYLP version of Brack, if I had to describe myself.
And my Space Ghost is about 30 years prior to that, so...
Right. Right.
You do know if you snip off Batman's ears, you essentially have the Space Ghost.
Space Ghost, yeah. But it did make that Brave and the Bold crossover even more awesome.
Yes, yes, it did. But anyway, speaking of things that are brave and bold, you can probably find lots of brave and bold collectibles to purchase at megatoyfan.com. Minimize your cost, maximize your collection with Mega Toy Fan. Lots of vintage stuff, lots of modern goodies, all kinds of good stuff all around.
Yeah, pieces, yep. Parts.
Yep.
And you can also find him at the biggest toy conventions year-round, such as BotCon, TFCon, and a lot of other great places. So check him out.
Yes.
And he can also be reached at Facebook at facebook.com/mega.toyfan. So if you're looking for something vintage, check out Mega Toy Fan. So this fan vote, Trypticon. there was three choices, Trypticon, Trypticon, and Trypticon.
Dara, I think you read the article wrong. It was Trypticon, really? Scorponok, and Omega Supreme.
Well, that's what he said.
Let me get this straight. It was Trypticon, Trypticon, and Trypticon.
That's what he said, Don. He said Scorpticon, Omega Supticon, and Trypticon.
Yes. Vote Trypticon.
Right.
Yes. Well, I'll put it up front. I voted Omega.
And you lost.
And admittedly,
you were one of the throwaway votes.
This was a difficult choice. I figured they've already released a Metroplex, so they might as well go with a Trypticon to go along with that Metroplex. If they did a Scorponok, they would go along with Titan Return, Fort Max, and Omega Supreme would be just kind of the odd man out.
But the reason I voted for Omega Supreme is because I got a feeling that the Trypticon and the Scorponok were already more of a, yeah, those are going to come sooner or later. But if they see how many people want an Omega, this could be our best chance to get an actual animated-ish kind of styled Omega. It could be a ship, a playset, or a base without having a bunch of Rocket and Gantry separate combinations.
I didn't consider that. That's a great idea.
So because the Titan Masters are triple changers, then you can have Omega as a spaceship, opens up into a rocket base similar to what he was in the G1.
Or even as the Ark, like from Animated. And he's been a Headmaster before.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, he has a ship mode very reminiscent of the Ark.
Yeah,
so you can see you got the animated. It's not an animated style, but it would be an animated theme.
Animation accurate.
I would be okay with that.
Yeah.
Well,
and then, okay with that. Yeah,
so that's why I voted for Omega.
My thing is that I'm probably surprising people by my backing of Trypticon being a Headmaster fan because, I mean, Scorponok. But, damn, I mean, I love Scorponok. And honestly, truth be told, I would be happy if we get any of those three.
Oh yeah, it's.
I mean, I will be exceedingly happy if we get Omega, which you know I'm sure we'll get an Omega Sentinel repaint sometime down the line. I'd be exceedingly happy if we got Scorponok with hopefully the Japanese release of Black Zarek. But something in me thinks you know Trypticon just has not gotten enough love, and to have a Titan class Dino City base that you can put up head-to-head with Generations Metroplex. I'm all for that. So that's why I went Trypticon. And, you know, Trypticon is all that matters in that vote.
I give it a year before they repaint Stomp and Trump Grimlock again, this time in black and purple.
And it will still warm the shelves.
Yes.
But you know,
hi, Brad!
He just waits.
Right.
So, Trypticon, did you vote for Trypticon? I mean, Brett, did you vote for Trypticon? Or did you vote?
I didn't vote.
You didn't vote?
I didn't vote.
The shits you gave.
I don't remember which ones were the who you could pick from.
Omega Scorponok, Supreme. Go ahead.
The Scorponok, Omega Supreme, and Trypticon.
Oh, Scorponok.
Well, whichever one comes out, it's not really going to matter because you're still going to be able to order it at TrypticonToyFan.com.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's it's
the
just,
one I would pick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously there's a lot of love for Trypticon. Otherwise, they would have not gone back and remolded parts to give us the Platinum Edition. If they didn't think love for the character was there.
Yeah. Trypticon.
Is Platinum remolded?
Well, they went. From what I understand, they had to go back and remake some parts to make it a original G1 because some of the molding wasn't
They basically changed the mold whenever they made Gigastorm for Beast Wars 2nd. So they had the mold. They just needed to, retrofit it with pieces that would make it back to G1.
Wouldn't that just be the head?
There were some I think on the back, some spikes or something on the back too.
And Gigastorm didn't have any electronics, did he?
Yeah, he did.
I don't know. I had one. He was heavy enough. Oh. I think he did.
But was he your brother? Not to sorry.
I think he had some clear things on the back. If I recall, I remember he had spots painted on his back too.
But it kind of made him look like Godzilla. Wouldn't require a.
Yeah, but I do. It seems like I recall different horns and everything.
So a neon spotted.
That is what robot. Cool. Repaint Trypticon as Grimlock from Beast Wars.
No, repaint him as Stomp-a-Tomp Grimlock, the green one.
That would cause the universe to implode, I think.
I'm sorry, my brain exploded the other day when I was at Toys R Us and I saw that stupid thing. I didn't know they'd released that. It's the Age of Extinction Grimlock as the green R.I.D. Grimlock, and it is horrendous.
But so what are your thoughts on if we get any of the Titan class figures, Brett? Would you be excited about any of them or?
Nah. Nah. Not really.
Nah.
Nah. I'm looking and I just think it's the
just the horn, head.
The head. That looks the same.
Seemed like I remembered some kind of spikes or something other that was on the back, but I could
think it's
be wrong.
Just painted. Yeah. Just because it had that little, spots on the back.
Yeah.
But that's just a paint deco.
It was actually a really pretty deco of him, too. I liked it.
Yeah, That was just those two.
But, all right. It's quite of a big topic. So let's get... Let's get on to the meat at hand, or as some people have meat in hand. whenever we talk about our collections,
you're disgusting.
Yes.
Me.
Yes. Like I said in the preview at the beginning of the episode, our collections are very personal, and what keeps us going as collectors and fans is our collections. If we didn't collect the toys, I don't think honestly we would be as active in the fandom because, what would be our drive to continue? And each one of our collections has a story behind it. Maybe certain pieces, that we remember certain, stories and how we got them. Maybe we even have our very first Transformer still. I do. I'm going to show mine off here shortly. Our collections are our journey as collectors. And whenever we collect, we collect certain things for a certain reason. And what drives us to do that? Our love for the toys. So let's get a little bit personal with our collections and let's talk about our favorite pieces, our favorite stories and favorite things, about our collections and why our collection is where it's at and where we want it to go because, we are in control of our collections, aren't we? So, and I also want to urge any listener
to be quiet and not say a word. Is that what he said?
Precisely.
I am about to disconnect this hard drive over here. So, as I was saying, I urge any listeners, if you're listening to the show, check it out and follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Tweet us pictures of your collection. Tweet us what your favorite piece is. If you have a story about something, post it on our Facebook group. We'd love to hear from you. Let's go with Jim. Let's hear about you and your collection and your little journey with your collection.
Well, my journey has been several different places over the years. No real consistency. It's adapted and changed just as much as I have, off and on. And growing up, I wasn't necessarily part of the richest family necessarily. So a lot of what I had were some of the smaller figures. My first Transformer that I recall owning would have been G1 Topspin. And as recently as 6 years ago, I believe I still had the right arm and the head for it. But I mean, over the years, it's just progressed little by little. Different situations in personal life have helped it to dwindle at times of need. But overall, I've tried to stay focused on the main ones that hold the most sentimentality. And my screen share to work here. I've actually got a image of. Hang on a second. Is that working? Hey, cool. Image of three figures that I still have from when I was a kid. There's G1 Rad with Lionizer. This one was originally my brother's, my older brother's. He's the one that initially got me into Transformers. Was his G1 Dirge, still missing its right fist, and then Generation 2 Grimlock. Rad with Lionizer was the... It was a gift for Christmas of, I believe, 89, maybe even 90. It would have been 90. From my great-grandmother, prior to her moving to Florida. And so that was the last one that I got from her from the original line. Because of that, it holds a strong sentimentality. This being the same lady that also gave me my horrible the previous year following a house fire. Anytime I look at Rad, I just think back to memories of her, and that's always been special for me.
Do you ever look at Rad and think, man, that's really Rad?
Well, there have been occasions where I look at him and say, I want to tell you all about the Transformers. I know that was horrible. Horrible, ha! But then there's the Dirge here, and that was originally my older brother's. He used to wake me up before he went to school. It was back just before I started going to kindergarten. Super early, butt crack of dawn, he would wake me up. We would go downstairs every morning. We would watch Transformers. We would watch G.I. Joe. And I want to say like Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling or some other shows that were on that time. But the main two were always G.I. Joe and Transformers. And then later came Voltron or something. When he turned 16, started driving and started, I guess, discovering girls or something, he actually bequeathed his entire collection, all of his toys, to me. He sat me down and explained the thing to me, and free and clear, I didn't know him a thing, and I have tried my hardest to keep the best care of those that I could, and yeah. Then of course there's G2 Grimlock. That was kind of a thing with him as well, where we were actually at a store called Rural King in Paris, Illinois. I know a lot of places don't have it, but it's basically a farm supply store. For some reason, they carry toys there.
They still do. Actually, we have one here in Shelbyville.
Nice. I've not been inside one in a long time. I remember they had free popcorn. But anyway,
it's no longer free now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, what if you pop it yourself?
Well, then you still got to pay for it to pop it, so.
Free corn. Anyway, one of these spots on the toy shelf was the G2 Dinobots, just on the pegs, and those stupid packages that will lacerate you to death if you don't open them right. I hate those bubbles. Anyway, Grimlock was always his favorite Dinobot. And so, he was actually picking up a couple other figures because he was working on, I think it was like the G.I. Joe Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat or whatever was out then. Because he was also big into Joe's, which I never really was. But he talked me into picking up the Grimlock. And not 2 days after I got it home, my kid sister, she would have been probably four at the time, she had a bottle of this stuff. It was kind of like the, I don't know if you remember this, it was called Jaloos. It was like a Jello, but in a squeeze bottle. Kind of like the Fruitopia type of stuff. She seemed to think it'd be a good idea to feed it to Grimlock. And this stupid thing still smells of, I believe, coconut to this day. Because there are nooks and crannies that I could not get to. And so somewhere up in the dino head is still remnants of that. And I'm totally going to show her this this video so she can die of laughter. But yeah.
You know, the thing is, I'm sure every one of us have a little story about our collections and everything like that. What would you have to say is your prize piece in your collection?
Well, I've actually got several things that that I really really love about my collection.
Okay.
Of course, one pinnacle prize piece.
Well, let's say your prize pieces, I guess.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm showing you now. Like one of them I got at the final SlagerCon was this Fall of Cybertron blaster here, autographed by Mr. Buster Jones, who that man was an absolute sweetheart, by the way. So friendly. He just took time out of his day. You know, because I was doing something else with my booth, I didn't actually make it to the autograph line. So he did this just on the fly. Just pulled out a Sharpie and just signed it for me. So very, very nice individual. Also have my Transformers Monopoly, of course. Who doesn't love that? The very first SlagerCon had a masterpiece Grimlock I got from, I can't remember who I got it from now. I think it may have been Morgan Collier, but I can't remember now. It's been long enough. But anyway, I got it autographed by Greg Berger, and that is still sealed. I still dust it occasionally. Never going to be opened. Never going to be transformed. I don't know how well you can see it here, but I have a little bit of vintage VHS goodness. Got some of the Rhino volumes of G1. Those are Betamax cassettes, not VHS, by the way. These over here are VHS, but not these. These are Betamax. And then this, which actually I've got a better shot of it. That is the G1 FHE volume autographed by Greg Berger, Susan Blue, Buster Jones, Frank Welker, and who the crap else? I had someone else autograph it. I can't think of who it is. Oh, John Moshida. And that was just at BotCon just this past year. Then, of course, my Combiner Wars that I took moments before the podcast tonight. And Don. Hi, Don. But yeah, that's pretty much what I got. As far as a pinnacle piece, though, I would say probably that VHS of the Transformers the movie, just because it has all the autographs of the vintage voice actors, and it's been in their hands, and I've spoken to them, and that is kind of a record of that.
Yeah. Now, we'll talk a little bit about how our collections got to where they are now and where we want them to go. We'll talk a little bit about that here momentarily. But, Brett, let's hear about you. Let's hear what your any funny stories, any memories about obtaining one of your figures in your collection that really stands out.
Well, unlike everyone else, I don't have anything set up ready to go. So I was sitting here trying to figure out what I was going to say and trying to find pictures, and yeah, it's not going so well.
Well, then you say you have nothing set up. You have all that behind you set up.
Yeah, but I can't. I thought about even taking the. It would look bad. So.
Oh.
I'm trying to find. well, what I was going to say is this. And I cannot for the life of me remember when I first saw this. But you, Donald, now. Let me screenshot this.
Okay.
Okay. When I first saw this thing, I did. I fell in love with it. I love it.
You have that?
No.
Oh.
No.
I wish.
Oh, absolutely not. There's, I think there's what, two of them?
Yeah. Are there?
I think so.
Cool.
Now, for our audio listeners, we are looking at the G1 prototype of Unicron.
The very first one.
The original prototype.
The original. And
it never was.
I know it was shown at one of the earlier BotCons, but I only saw pictures of it.
Yeah.
And
believe
so,
me, we were all gathered around that table like, oh my God.
Yeah. Like, so yeah. I saw that and I thought, well, it'd be neat to have prototypes and stuff like that, but I mean, I can never afford those. So I just went straight into G1s and bought nothing but loose G1s, incomplete. I completed them, got extras, got extra parts, and basically went to trading and selling and turned into, well, kind of what I am now. But the funny part was I was able to acquire a few prototypes from like eBay and various places, but it wasn't until, and I'm trying to find the picture, I got it somewhere, but my wife found a Primal Prime prototype at a thrift store for $1. And that's what changed my whole outlook, that you can find any of this stuff. You just got to look hard enough.
Speaking of prototypes, there's a little preview of a photo shoot that I'm going to be doing very soon. Some unreleased G2 GoBots, Rumble and
nice.
Hound.
Nice.
But go ahead. You there? I'm sure you have those. There's a few. Yeah, that one. There's a few of those floating out there.
Or
that one.
That one.
Yes.
Or,
that's in this bag.
How about that one?
That's not in this bag. That's not a GoBot, though.
That one.
The GoBots.
I remember.
Now, are these actually in your collection, or?
Yep. Yeah, these are mine.
I remember when that Optimus Prime and Megatron Hero version sold at charity auction.
Yeah.
At BotCon.
Yeah, I heard about that. That was pre-99. What was it, 97?
No, I missed 97, and I wasn't there for the auction, but I was there the year the auction happened.
Was
so
it 98?
It must have been 98, because I missed 97.
Yeah, see, I didn't start going until 2000. And I'd already missed where they showed the picture of the Unicron and the charity auctions and all that.
I
got a bunch of pictures, and maybe it might have it in here somewhere. But
because I think the Hero Prime went for like $1,250.
Yeah, I bet. But the funny part was, if I can find this other picture, which is actually pretty interesting, is what really got me into collecting. I could find a stupid picture. Crap. Well, while I'm doing this, let me throw this one up because this is a nice picture. I like this picture. This is something that took me a little while to acquire.
Woo-hoo.
That is, what, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 gift sets.
G1 combiner worse.
Ranging from Dino King all the way down to just the ordinary Superion, Bruticus, Leo Kaiser, the Diaclone Raiden, all those.
Now, some of those was only available as a box set in Japan, so that's why.
Right. Well, technically, yes and no. The like the Abominus was Japanese only. But yes, there is a European one. I didn't think it made it to production.
I don't think there was an English package version
of
it.
I'm trying to remember. I think it was Hydra that had it. It had actually pictures of it. So it made it to a certain level, but not into full production.
Now, if you could pick out a figure in your collection that you have a fond memory or funny memory of obtaining, how you obtained it or something. Can you think of one right off the bat? One that pops out at you?
It would still have to be that Primal Prime. Just, I still remember, I was in the kitchen. She came walking in, and she said, "I found this," and she pulled it out, and I looked at it, and it was all black. And I said, "Oh, great, someone sharpied up an Optimal Optimus." And I looked at it, and I was like, "Oh, my God, this is in that, you know, it was molded in that color." And I didn't even know what I had.
You had bought it in a collection, or?
No, she found it at a thrift store for $1.
Wow.
And
wow.
that's what it was. And, I mean, it didn't have the accessories to it, but Whiz Bang actually that same year put one up for auction, and it actually went up for auction on Halloween, and it was called the, they called it the Halloween, at the time, Optimal Optimus, because it was black and orange. And I'm like, I have that. That's what I have. And that's what it was. And that was one of the nice things about living up here in the tri-state by Cincinnati, is stuff like that did get thrown out, did make it into thrift stores, secondhand stores.
Because, Hasbro and Kenner had offices in Cincinnati at one time. So
yeah. Well, that's where it was. That was back in 96, 97.
Plus, you got all that great built-to-rule stuff, too.
I did find those and didn't really care for them, but I'm trying to find the one picture that I just had it, too. But I ain't going to be able to find it. God.
Now, what about you, Jim? Any particular figure that really stands out in your collection that you have a fond memory of how you obtained it or anything?
Well, as far as anything in particular, aside from what I told you about the three there, the Grimlock, the Dirge, and the Rad, I have some vivid memories of ones that are sadly no longer in my collection due to different personal difficulties or things. I just right off the bat, my probably strongest memory would be of all the different trips that my family would take periodically to the local Kmart there in Paris, Illinois, which actually had a Kmart. Oh my God. But what the toy aisles would look like back then, it was no thing to walk in there, see, cops and crooks, food fighters, Transformers, Police Academy, the cartoon, RoboCop, all these others. And seeing all these Transformer figures, you have the Carter ones, the box ones. I mean, it was just fantastic, I think that was probably the one of the best experiences, because there were so many that you wanted as a kid, but never got. But you still remember.
It's like the Sears wish book of actually going into a store.
Precisely. That was like one of the greatest things as a kid. But as far as specifics though, one thing I remember is it was my older brother and myself. And my dad. And we lived about a block and a half away from the Kmart there at the time, just behind an elementary school. And one evening, I don't remember if it was somebody's birthday or just a night out just to go buy toys for whatever reason or what. But we just put on our shoes and jackets, and we walked the block and a half, hopped over somebody's fence. There used to be a house with a fence there. I don't know. And hopped out the other side and walked across the street to the Kmart. And I remember he came home with a G1 Bludgeon, and I picked Squawk Talk and Beast Box. And those being the first two Transformers that I actually got at a store that weren't just, like a Christmas present or just hand-me-down or what have you. This is ones that I picked off the shelf, and it was mine, that I recall.
That's a really fond memory about getting something in our collection
Right.
Whether we still have it now or we had it at one time, that first time that we actually got one in a store, everything. I've actually got a story about that. How about you, Brett? Did you have a fond memory of the first one that you got in a store? Do you remember it?
Well, what I was going to do is I was going to start off with this, and then the one I do remember, but. One of the neat things I wanted to say is why I actually collect. And I actually blame my father, who hates toys. So.
Yeah, and you ironically collect them all. Right.
Well, it's because of this. And this is a picture of every original Star Wars character made. Mm-hmm. And my dad worked for Kenner. And I used to get one of these almost every day. He'd come home with a couple of them in his pocket. And they were in little baggies, mailer baggies, and he got me the whole set. And it got me into being a completist, and that's when I first started. I was actually a big into being a completist, because if you'll notice, you'll see there's duplicates. Those are different variations. And that's back way, way back then. I was big into variations of all the characters.
So what was it? You said he hated toys. Was it not so much because it was toys, and more that it was just work related, or?
Yeah, because it was his job.
That's kind of what I think.
Yeah, get tired of looking at them, and
he didn't care anything about them, and he would just because back then what they did is if there was if like a box broke open, they would pack it back up, but if they fell on the floor, it was quicker for them to sweep them up than to pick them up and repackage them. They were so cheap to make, they just swept them up. So at the end of his shift, he would just go and sitting in a garbage can, he'd just pick them up and put them in his pocket.
Wow. And
that's what they did. I mean,
so that's the pot of gold at the end of that rainbow, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. In a garbage can.
Why yeah. not?
So, but the funny part is the thing I remember, and I don't remember all, I don't remember my first Transformer. I remember when Devastator first came out, and for the life of me, I want to say it was Hook. I was able to buy all of them at a store called Johnny's Toys, except for Hook. And of course, it's the middle guy, so I couldn't even, combine him. So I spent most of that summer trying to find that stupid Hook.
All right. Was it long haul or was it Hook?
Huh?
Was it long haul or Hook?
I think it was Hook. I'm almost positive it was Hook.
So you spent the biggest part of that summer with some green and purple pants.
I could not find it. I did find it, of course. But I still remember because I opened them all up, and I remember the little, the little guns and this, that, and the other. And I remember I had to put them in individual mode because I didn't have all six of them to combine them. But I also remember I used to pick up Joe's a lot. I was really big into G.I. Joe. So I remember at the same time, I might grab one or two Devastator bits and then a couple Joe's also. So I was really into both. Wasn't so much into the others. And what Jim said is true. Anyone that was around in the 80s, even the early 90s, if you watch Transformers, you watch G.I. Joe. If you watch G.I. Joe, you watch Transformers.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was like bread and butter.
Well, you kind of had to because even if you didn't care for G.I. Joe, that's how you saw the Transformer commercials.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Because they play Transformers during G.I. Joe and G.I. Joe during Transformers commercials. Shows.
I'll tell you, it gave me some kind of, I don't know if you call it a complex or what, but it just confused the crap out of me as a kid. Going from G.I. Joe to Transformers as far as which was supposed to be the good guy lasers and which was supposed to be the bad guy lasers. is it the red ones or the blue ones?
There was one other thing. When you were talking about, you were talking about Greg Berger.
Yeah.
And I'm drawing a blank. Blaster.
Buster Jones.
I have to thank. I got to thank Chad.
Absolutely.
because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have got to meet Buster, nor sit next to him while he ate and got to talk to him about so many different things. I actually spent a lot of time with him, and it was a lot of fun. Got his autograph also, and I just wanted to thank him for that. The other thing was, is the very first time I met Peter Cullen. Was at this one, was this 2004? It was the first time that I was able to meet him and got his autograph. And they were giving out the pictures that you could have to autograph it. And I sit there and think about all the conventions that I've gone to, you know, and all the people that I've met, all the voice actors, you know, got to talk to them one-on-one, interview them, this, that, and the other. And I never would have got to do that without the guys that put on these conventions. So I just wanted to give a, you know, hats off to them for putting on the shows and allowing me the opportunity to meet these great people.
What about you? What about you, Don? About your collection?
Well, I can remember it. It was June 21st, 1984. It was my birthday. I turned 14. Picture it.
Yeah. The Wayback Machine.
Wayback Machine. And it was my birthday, and my parents and we did antiques and collectibles after they retired early, and I helped them out before I started working regular work. And there was a dealer that had the 84, 85 Autobots, some of the Dinobots, and the mini cars. And Mom said I could pick anything less than $20 as part of my birthday present. So he didn't have Grimlock, so I got Sludge. And Sludge was my first Transformer ever. I got Sludge, Beachcomber, Top Spin, and Warpath were my first four in that order. After that, it gets a little blurry. Mm. But I gave him some links earlier to part of my collection. And I've been collecting ever since. Probably, as I've said in the past, I just have too much crap. I've been collecting solid since I was 14 years old. If I had not gone to BotCon 1994, I probably would have been done for the longest time until I saw G2 on the shelves or I had seen Beast Wars, because I had no idea the stuff overseas even existed. I had no idea of the UK product, idea of the Japanese stuff.
For our viewers, I've got some of the pictures that Don has shared of his collection.
A completely black screen?
No.
Don, you need to buy some lights.
Right? I can't afford them. I can't afford the bulbs.
These aren't showing up for you guys?
No.
Absolutely not.
That's weird, because whenever Jim was sharing his pictures, I didn't see them.
Now, I saw Jim's, and I hope you all saw mine.
Yeah.
I've not seen that.
But that is totally weird. We'll cross our fingers and hope that these pictures are coming through for the viewers on YouTube.
Right.
But go ahead, Don, as we talk.
So, pretty much, you know, I went to BotCon 94, discovered the rest of the Transformers, and I've been collecting ever since. I haven't stopped for 30. I'm now 45. I started when I was 14. So I have been collecting solid for 31 years, and I probably should have stopped long before now. I probably shouldn't be buying anything else myself, but I love these toys. I love the characters. I love the engineering now that I'm older and can appreciate what it takes to make these things. And I can enjoy it from an engineering standpoint of like, oh, that's how that works. And, you know, enjoy what they do and how they get from A to B to C. Through the years, I've had a lot of good luck things. Probably my best story, and I've told this before, anyone who's gone to BotCon, BotCon 96, BotCon 1996, not the best BotCon ever. It was run by a company that I don't care for. I won't say the name, but they did a really bad job of hosting the show. It was the 10th anniversary. Just to give you a little background, 10th anniversary of the movie. We had a showing. There was a cake. There was no plates for the cake. There was no silverware. We were given a napkin and a cup of water. There was no video room. We had to borrow an AV cart from the hotel, and we couldn't play the and there was no room to put it in.
Did you feel like you were in fifth grade again?
it did have some shadowing of that, yes. And we couldn't play it past 10 o'clock because we were out in a lobby area, which would be disturbing some of the other guests that were there in the adjacent
rooms. That's poor planning.
So there's a reason a lot of us call BotCon 96 the disaster. But in the dealer's room that year, for all of it, all that shows faults, I got Grand Maximus for $350 in the box.
Nice.
Wow.
The funny part is, I bought him, took him back up to the hotel room, and John and Carl, Ben, you remember this as well. A lot of people followed me up to take pictures for the web for what was the growing websites at the time, 96, 97. Also to post pictures on Alt Toys, Transformers, and stuff like that. I think we had pictures on ATT. I can't remember. Then I realized that everybody left. Oh, that's right. I flew to Chicago. How am I getting this home? Luckily, my best friend, who wasn't going to be able to make it, actually made it with his father. They drove up to visit family and then wound up having a few hours to kill, so he took it back for me. Otherwise, I don't know how I would have gotten it back. Wow. But Grand Maximus is one of my favorites. I can't pick just one. I've got too many favorites. I wish the pictures were working.
I will say real quick, just Don, not mean to interrupt, but I was almost going to pick Grand Max as one of my favorites.
Yeah,
I was almost. So I'm right there with you.
I love him. It's just I have so many that it's like. As I've said, one of my favorite toys is the Fire Convoy mold. I think that, not counting Masterpiece 1 and Masterpiece 10, because those are completely different levels, I think the Fire Convoy mold is one of the best interpretations of Optimus Prime we've ever had.
Except for the tires.
It's a subject that, it happens. But you can, I'm sure... it's going to happen no matter what they do. But some of my favorite pieces are based around that mold. I have the Sam's Club Yellow version. I have the Godfire Convoy, the Crystal set. That was a Toys R Us Japanese exclusive. And I was lucky enough to actually pick up Darkfire Convoy, which was a lucky draw.
Oh,
admittedly, it's one of the easier lucky draws to get. But I got it at a really good price, so those are some of my favorite.
A lucky draw.
Some of my other favorites, just basic. I like G1 Getaway.
I love Getaway. Yeah,
I love Getaway. I love Hardhead as a Headmaster Hardhead. I love Smokescreen. I like. There's Windcharger is one of my favorite little G1 Windcharger, Sea Spray, Cosmos, all the mini bots I love. Jump starters, I love jump starters. I wish we would get some new jump starters, even if they didn't have the spring loaded gimmick. I would love to see some new jump starters.
Brett's got a whole bag of them.
I think.
Do you grab any of those Marvel ones?
That's what I was going to say. The closest we got recently was those Marvel ones.
I saw those. I passed on those.
That's good. Good planning on that one. Yeah. Hey, Don, what about this one? There you go.
I don't have that one. I don't do prototypes. Prototypes and variants. I'm kind of like, if Brett is into the variants and the prototypes. I'm not, because I don't really care if there's a version that has this sticker or that sticker or this color. That's why I never got Diaclone. You know, it's just, if it's a repaint that I like Wheelie from Jazz, as an example, I'll buy two of the same mold. But if it's an earlier version that's I have no connection to.
I have slacked off a lot because now I don't do that anymore. I try and find the best. If there's a variation and I want to see it, I go look for it and I find it. If I like it better, well, then I'll take that, of course.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, I used to be that way, but I'm not.
Yeah. I'm just saying, as far as, you know, you have pursued the variants and the right. prototypes, which is something yeah. I've never had any interest at all in pursuing.
Well, also, stop and remember, I don't do all the lines that you do. So, you know, I mean, because you do a lot of the different lines too, correct?
Yeah, I collect some Marvel Legends. Yeah. Well, if my patrons were working, I have a complete set of carded Visionaries figures. I have an almost complete set carded of Tailspin figures from Playmates. I've got almost all the Gundams from G Gundam and the Mobile Suits in Action.
Wow.
I've got a selection of GoBots on card. I've got a lot of Green Lantern on card. A fair amount of Digimon from both Tamers and Frontier. So, again, I probably something I should have stopped years ago, but. You know, those are my favorites. I have a few new favorites like Carrie. I love Carrie, and for all the crap I get, I still like Kronos. From a visual standpoint, I'm sorry, I just love the way he looks visually. You know, it's just that it's so hard to stop this hobby because there's always something new, unique, like Titan Fortress Maximus coming out, or that Power Master Optimus Prime.
There's always something that sucks you right back in.
Exactly, because, you know, I don't run around and, you know, I'm different than a lot of y'all. You know, I don't have a wife. I'm not currently seeing anybody. And I don't have a lot of. I don't have the newest car or the newest iPhone. My laptop's 3 years old now. I don't keep up with the Joneses on a lot of things, except for Transformers. Because I do like, you know, it's a very hard hobby to stop because they keep making stuff that's too damn nice.
You know, that makes me think. I was telling a few people the other day, you know, this Titan Returns line that's coming out next year, it's essentially Headmasters. I mean, whatever label you slap on it, it's Headmasters everything, which is right down my alley. It's my favorite gimmick in the whole Transformers universe, the Headmasters. I loved them. You know, you had a functional part of the robot that became a trainer or a driver or a pilot of the vehicle, and I just love that. It's like a playset in a figure. Just loved it. And I had actually told several people, you know, the end of 2015, I was planning on ceasing collecting of retail figures and collect mainly just Masterpiece and third party Masterpiece style, and an occasional exclusive if there was a retail release that really tickled my fancy, you know, like RC, you know, I would probably dip into that. But as far as going and getting mainline stuff, I had intentions of the end of 2015 being basically, you know, the end of my collecting of retail. I'm wanting to kind of taper off. I don't want to get out of the fandom. I don't have any plans of selling my collection and just getting out totally or anything like that. But I'm kind of get into the mindset where I want to start toning down my collecting and start doing other things, because I do have people that are important in my life and I want to go out and do things with them and go places with them. And sometimes I just don't have the money because, well, frankly, I spend it on toys and I don't want to continue doing that. but I don't want to get out completely, you know. So, you know, masterpieces, I think, you know, they come out so far between, you know, we get what, maybe 6 a year, 7 a year now. And the third party ones, I'm probably going to cut back on those and make it just a character that I've got to have. I'm kind of already doing that now, but right now there's just so many third party figures that are out there that really tickle my fancy. I'm like, ooh, that's awesome. I want to carry. I want this and I want that. You know, it's just hard to say no. And I totally agree with you. It's hard to step away from the hobby whenever they keep pulling you back in with stuff like Titan Returns. I mean, once I saw the first Titan Returns, and now I've heard rumors that there's going to be a new Weird Wolf. And I'm like, damn it, you know, suck me right back in full force.
Well, you know, it's weird how you, when you look back over, like for me, like this right here, this is one of my favorite pieces that I have. Manta from Mask.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of my favorites. It's, you know, again, it's Mask. You know, you take it, it's very simple. You mash the button, wings come out, fingernail gets snapped off. And then, you know, that's it. You know, that is your transformation.
It doesn't and have now, to be complex. It really doesn't. Exactly. That's why a lot of G1 still holds its charm.
But here's the thing, though. They trademarked all these names and all this intellectual property last year. So even if I stop collecting Transformers, we're looking at them trademarking Visionaries and Mask information. What happens when these come back out again? I'm screwed. That's what happens.
It's like you just might as well have your paychecks direct deposited into Hasbro's account.
Exactly. It's literally, because I mean, Visionaries is one of those things where either you remember it passionately and you loved it for what it was, or you have no idea what the hell it was.
I remember it was kind of
But
same.
And yeah. If they come out with new figures and new play sets and a new Iron Mountain, oh God, yes, I'm gonna have all of it. If they come out with all this new Mask stuff, I will probably have most of it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's always gonna be something.
Well, my collection's been through a total metamorphosis. Ever since I've become an adult collector, I started collecting again in late 99, around the time that Fox Kids repaints of Beast Wars was on the shelf and Beast Machines was starting to trickle in. That's when I became an adult collector. Of course, in 1984, I watched the cartoons, but I was heavily into He-Man, and I didn't actually get my first Transformer until probably early, I want to say late 84, maybe 85, I guess is when the Constructicons came out. But here it is, folks. I still have it. That is my first Transformer.
The black screen.
What is it?
That is my first Transformer. It's Bone Crusher.
Okay.
The Constructicon. I don't know if anybody can see it.
Nope.
Is my screen completely black?
Yep.
Why? That is so weird. Can anybody see me at all?
Nope.
Well, let me turn that off. Turn it back on. Can you see me now?
Nope.
Not a bit.
Wow. Love Google. Are. Google, you're awesome. But, the story behind it, whenever I was... I was 9 in 1984, and if you listen to the podcast for any length of time, I was a very sick little boy, got a rare heart disease at the time, and now I understand it's totally curable, but at the time, it was 98% fatal, and I was laid up in St. Joseph's Hospital in Lexington, Kentucky, and my best friend at the time was a neighbor kid. He's about 3 years younger than me, 2 to 3 years younger than me. he came down to visit me in the hospital, and I was laying there. He thought I was dead, and he had a gift for me, and he came up and ran up crying. He laid it on the edge of the bed and ran out of the room, wouldn't come back into the room because he thought I was dead, you know. And my mom told me about all this later on, and I opened up the gift whenever I came to. I was actually just asleep, and it was the Constructicon Bone Crusher. And I still have it. That's if you're listening, that's what's clacking around right there. It's the toy. I still have it complete. The pistol's in a box over here. I acquired a KO box set box, and that's what I keep my Constructicons in. I got all my G1 Constructicons. If you can see me, there they are.
Nope.
All six of them. Well, if the viewers can see me. But they are probably the most sentimental parts of my collection next to Weird Wolf. I actually threw some sorry for that sound there. But I actually threw some hardship. I actually had to sell my Weird Wolf a few years back. But I made sure to sell it to somebody that I knew, and I sold it to Insane Galvatron. And I sold it to him with the caveat, I want the option to be able to buy it back or obtain it back at a future date. I said, it's mainly a loan, but if something ever happens to me or if I have to get out of collecting completely, it's yours to keep, you know. But I eventually did get it back, and it's back in my display case. I identify with the character through the tech spec a lot, and that toy, I just love it. It's so, like Don said, you know, it's so simple, you love it. It doesn't have to be complex in order to be something that you love. But I also have another figure that, you know, it will never part my possession, because it means so much to me. And if the YouTube viewers can see it, it is a Slagicon exclusive 2011, the original Breakneck, I guess. and it's a boxed version. This was given to me by our own Chad Williams. And if I'm not mistaken, it's one of either the only one or one of only a couple that was ever made. And it's very special to me. I also have a Creo, the prototype for Omega Sentinel, Creo that he had for the last Slagicon. Those are really special to me. The first time I remember actually getting a toy off the shelf, I remember my mom and I, we went to a Walmart. I believe it was in Jackson, Kentucky. And I went in there, and it was the first time I'd actually, since I'd got out of the hospital, it was the first time I'd actually seen Transformers on the shelf, and wanted some. And they had Jazz, Blue Streak, and several of the Autobot cars. But I was able to get Snarl, Dinobot Snarl. That was the very first box Transformer I got, because even though I got him, Jazz, and Blue Streak at the same time, Snarl was the first one I picked up, and my mom bought me those three, and then later on came the rest of the Constructicons, and the rest is history. But I distinctly remember getting my Snarl, and I no longer have it, but a funny little story. I actually got a G1 Sandstorm by winning the Collier County, Florida 6th grade spelling bee championship. I spelled the word Diffenbachia to win the county spelling bee championship.
The word what?
Diffenbachia. It's a household plant. I spelled it, and I won $25 in prize money. And I believe I was even quoted in the Naples Daily News. They asked me what I was going to do with my prize money, and I said, I'm going to buy a Transformer. And that is exactly what I did. I bought my G1 Sandstorm at a children's play world in the mall there in Naples. I remember that vividly. Such a fond memory. But if I had to choose a prize piece in my collection, I'd say it'd be my 2001 New Year or 2002 New Year's edition Convoy, sealed in the box, and it's got Peter Cullen's autograph on it. I think that's probably my most prized, as far as, hey, check this out thing. There's a lot of stuff that has a lot of sentimental attachment to it, but I think that would be it. Now, I gave a little foreshadowing as to where my collection has been and where it's going, but let's segue into it. And since I've already begun it, I'll finish my story and then we'll go to you guys. And while we're talking here, I do want to remind listeners, if you are listening live or on the recorded version, let us know what your favorite pieces are, any memories that you have. Post them on our Facebook page or tweet us at TFYLP. And if it's done while we're live here on the show, I'll mention it, or we'll mention it, and may even have some of your memories here on the show. But my collection, you know, I had a lot of G1s. I mean, most of them were the small mini bots, the combiner limbs as a kid, because my parents, they didn't have a lot of money, and they mainly bought me small ones. And then I would get larger Transformers, usually on a special occasion, like if I'd done something like win something at school, do well at school, birthday, Christmas. Matter of fact, my Christmas of 85, it was my first Christmas after I got out of the hospital, and my parents, my dad had sold his business and we moved to Florida, and he had went to Toys R Us or Children's Play, a Palace. I'll take that back, and had bought me one of every Transformer they had on the shelf that time.
Children's Palace rocked.
Yes.
The place was awesome.
And I just loved it. That was probably the greatest Christmas I ever had as a kid, because of the sheer amount of toys I got. I probably got nearly the entire 85 line that year, save Megatron was still on the shelf. I didn't get a Megatron until I was an adult. But whenever I became an adult collector, I came within several Action Masters and Pretenders and Micromasters, and a few odds and ends throughout, like Trypticon. I didn't have him at one time. I eventually did. I wound up owning like two or three Trypticons in my life, and Reflector. I eventually owned a Reflector. But I've owned nearly every Generation 1 mold at one time, and with the exception of, I'd say, about 30 figures, and most of them are Pretenders and Action Masters. My first wife and I, we got into a bit of a financial difficulty in 2006, and I needed to pay off some credit card debt and such, and so I sold all but about 100 figures to Big Bad Toy Store. And got nearly $13,000 out of it all. I didn't have enough time to piece everything out, or else I would have got way more than that. I'd say I probably would have got close to $30,000 if I'd pieced it out. But as such, I got out of the credit card debt and had enough to take my wife on a trip to Cape Hatteras. Had a good time. And then I started rebuilding, and, well, my collection's, I've sold off a couple times since, but there's no real point in sharing, I guess, but here it is. My collection is small, but I'm proud of it. It's I've probably got about 300 figures total. And my focus now is Combiner Wars type stuff, and Masterpiece and third party Masterpiece style, and the occasional Japanese Beast War character. I kind of dig some of those weird designs. But that's where my collection has been. I used to have at the height, I'd say I estimate my collection to be around 2,500 figures at one time. I do recall before I sold off to Big Bad Toy Store in 2006, at one point in 2004, I did have over 2,000 figures. So I'm estimating I got at least another 300-400 figures after that. So that's where I come up with the 2,500 figure. Let's go to you, Brett. Where's your collection been? Where is it going? And at its height, how many would you say or estimate that you had?
Good. Well, first thing I want to do, we'll get this out in the open, because I did find it. There it is. That's what she bought. That's the all black and orange. And I thought it was an Optimal Optimus. It's actually a Primal Prime. And if you look real close right in here, you'll see the $1 that they actually used the marker on it, and I left it there because that's what she paid for. She paid a dollar.
And that is worth every penny.
Oh, yeah.
All 99, all 100 of them.
That's right. Now, I did want to mention something real quick. Back in at BotCon 2005, they did an auction, and one of the things that they had in the auction was junk from Aaron Archer's desk. And I went in with another guy and I won this. Wow. And there was like 10 or so drawings, and we each got to pick what we wanted. And there's Vector. They called it Vector Prime at the time, right there. And Unicron. And that's what they were originally going to look like. That was just concept drawings. And I actually went in, and some people know Fred. That's who I went in on with this. And that's also the year that Hurricane Rita went through there. And first time I'd ever been that close to a hurricane, so that was pretty fun.
Hmm.
So it that's the other thing. It's just stories, things that happened to me while I was on my journey for these transforming bots. Now, as far as where my collection's going, I've always been a fan of Macross Robotech, and this is where I'm at right now. I went with the lower bottom shelf is 1/48 scale, and I love those to death. They're just so neatly articulated, and the transformation is pretty unique. And then, of course, above is the older ones, the 1/55 scale, which is what Jetfire is, of all the different ones. So even if I got out of Transformers, I doubt if I'd get out of these. This just because there's not that many of them. It's not a real demanding collection, but it's one I do like. I've always liked that show. And I actually forgot to say that back in the late 80s, if you watched Transformers and G.I. Joe, you had to watch Robotech. That to me was just had to be part of it. Now, one thing I wanted to mention, and we haven't talked about it, was, and I don't know if you were going to mention, the one thing that we're still looking for our collection.
Yes. But
I'm still looking for this guy. I've been looking for this guy for 7 years now.
Is that a 5-star?
Yeah, that's a 4-star.
I'm sorry.
Gray version. Right now I have the fuselage, which is the main robot, and these two pieces here. I've only seen one complete, and of course it wasn't for sale. Other than that, I have never found one. I've been looking for 7 years now. So that to me, that's my, what would that be called? A white whale?
Your white whale, yeah.
My white whale, that's what I'm still looking for.
Mine, I would have to say a Mint and Box complete Death Source would be mine. Yeah. I'm still after that, but
I still want a Minerva.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think you got a better shot of getting your Minerva and your Death Source than I do to find this damn thing. Because, I mean, I have not seen one in 7 years. So, but I haven't given up. I haven't given up yet.
That's part of the fun is the hunt.
Exactly.
And going back to what I said at the beginning of the show, you know, one of the things that drives us is the thrill of the hunt to add to our collection. You know, to walk in here, I mean, it's the whole reason that I display mine in a glass case is that after a hard day of work and I come home, I like coming in here, flipping on the lights and just standing and looking at my figures and occasionally pulling one out of the case and converting it. You know, it's something that brings great pleasure and joy to me and a sense of calmness actually, that I get from it. It's therapeutic in my opinion. But where has your collection been? And you said that you're going more toward, Macross if you were to get out of Transformers, but where are you directing your collecting right now? Where has it been?
I went backwards and then forwards and then backwards again. When I was acquiring collections, I would get boxed items and I would sell the boxed items so I could get more loose figures. So I would have all loose. And then I got every single G1 loose. Then I decided I was going to get the boxes for them. So I went back and got boxes for them. And now I'm at the stage where I'm looking for sealed ones. So I'm slowly switching over my boxed ones for sealed ones. And I'm assuming that once I do that, I really don't think there's anywhere else to go. So I'll probably be done with G1 at that time. So that's when I'm probably going to go more into the other things. So I'm still doing others. Like I still collect Hot Toys, the figures that I do like, and of course the Macross.
You so ever think that you'll say, move on to Beast Wars and do Beast Wars the same way?
I right now have, because I was lucky enough when they first came out, I have almost all the Beast Wars sealed already. Especially all the show characters. I kept all the show characters, and if it was just a repaint and I didn't like it, I didn't keep it. And then, of course, if there was some really neat Japanese ones, I kept those as well. So that I've already done. And then I got rid of all my G2 stuff and then turned around and just recently picked up a whole lot of G2 stuff sealed. So I'm almost got that done. So honestly, I think it's just going to be the rare knockoff stuff, sealed stuff. And then I'm going to go into the goofy stuff. Like I know it's goofy, but like lamps, pencils, you know, the goofy stuff.
Yeah.
Like you talked about, you have that masking tape. I mean, goofy stuff.
Yeah.
Somewhere, there it is. I was given a roll of vintage wallpaper from, I think it was England. And so I got a roll of that, and I don't even know what to do with it. I guess I'm going to put it on the wall somewhere. I don't know. So just weird stuff like that, and I'm always looking for the prototypes, the hard to get stuff. So I think my collecting has dwindled down, and I think it'll continue to. But I'm just so diverse in all the stuff. I mean, I got Shogun Warriors over here. I got 12-inch vintage Star Wars there. So I mean,
I'm
a person that's always going to collect.
Do you ever stop and think, damn, I'm never going to have enough room to hold everything I want to collect?
I already know it.
New house.
I know this for a fact simply because I just bought G2 Bruticus and G2 Superion mint on the card, all five of each. And
which are in the Facebook group, by the way.
Yeah, and they went right up into a shelf that's buried behind boxes, so I don't even get to see it. So it's above my head, and I can't even see it.
What is if you could think of one thing, what is the one thing in your collection that you haven't handled in forever? Can you think of any one particular thing? It's like, I don't remember the last time I handled it.
The big oversized knockoffs that I have up there. I haven't touched this in forever. And the main reason is because they're so damn brittle, I'd be afraid to touch them. So.
Now, Don, what about you? Where's your collection been? Where's it going? And at the height of your collection, collecting, which is probably right now, what would you say or estimate your collection count being? How big a nerd are you?
Well, I really don't think y'all can. Yeah, you can't see that. It's too dark.
I will say one thing real quick, Don. I didn't answer the question on how many because I was going to wait and see how many you said, and I know I don't have as many as you do.
Okay, so if I'm counting just Transformers from Hasbro to Kara, I would probably say upwards – I would probably say between 5,000 and 7,000. Now, that's counting individual MicroMasters. That's counting Combaticons as 5, not 6, even though Bruticus is a separate character. I would say between 5,000 and 7,000. If you factor in third party, you factor in my mask, you factor in my visionaries, you factor in my Digimon.
What about just Transformers? Let's just.
That's what I'm saying. I'd say between 5,000 and 7,000.
Wow. So, yeah. Warehouse. See,
that's kind of what I thought. I was figuring you. I actually figured you'd be over 7 because I was thinking I'm probably around.
Well,
5.
I've sold some over the last couple of months. And I'm also not counting what I have left from JD's collection in that. I'm not counting that as well.
No, this is just personal collection.
Yeah, personal stuff, yeah.
Because I have way, 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 way more. But personal collection, no. That's what I'm counting.
Yeah, I'm being cautious, and I'm saying 5,000 to 7,000 just because, like you said, I have stuff in boxes. I have the first supersized Bumblebee from the first movie that I haven't touched. I don't even know what box it's in. I've got Beast Wars that are in boxes like Armadillo and Insecticon and Razor Beast that I haven't touched in 5, 6, 7 years. I've got same.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got I can't remember the last time I touched an Alternator or a Vinyl Tech.
That's why you were saying if I had it, you know, when do you think I'm going to run out of room? All that Beast Wars stuff that I have carded and sealed and everything, it's in the basement. That's another 5 boxes that I know I got no room to put it.
Yeah.
And that stuff I haven't touched in forever.
Well, see, that's why I'm selling off a lot of my carded generation stuff. It's for the first – I'm sorry. It was a very long week working retail yesterday anyway. For the first 3 or 4 waves of generations, I bought everything duplicated, carded, and to have one loose because I love the artwork. I love the card designs for generations, and I've been selling off a lot of those, and I've got a lot more to go through. It's just making myself turn loose of them. So that's the big problem for me, making myself turn loose of these figures that I love so much.
Now, you know, I can't. Do you all see my video now?
Nope.
I changed cameras, and hopefully that. But anyway, I can't say that there's anything in my collection that I haven't touched in ages because I moved a year ago, so I had to have handled everything then. But I think there's at least several figures in my cases that I haven't touched since I moved. I think they're. Actually, no. You know what? I think I have touched everything within the last 6 months because I rearranged here recently.
Well, I would love to get to the point where my collection is pared down to probably between, and I'm talking everything I own, between 500 to 1,000 figures. And I don't see me doing that because I just can't force myself to do that.
Do you know how, and that's why when people talk about that they have hundreds, if you actually sit down and just start counting how many 1,000 figures are, and we're talking every bumblebee, cliff jumper, you know, all the way up to the big boys, this, that, and the other. Really? That's not that much. It's really not. I mean, it sounds like it.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Duron, how many do you think you had?
I would estimate that I have between 300 and 500 right now.
I bet you have more.
Probably.
Just because of how many detolfs you have, I just bet you have more. You would think, oh, I got about, you know, 50 in this one. Then you'll count it, and it'll be like 70. You know? I mean, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, it's,
well, a lot of my detolfs are taken up with large figures like the masterpieces. I'm sorry, Don. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no. It's just, you know, it's just a fact that, again, I've got so much stuff, and I haven't counted or touched it. I can't remember the last time I even had my G1 Seekers assembled. I've got them in a pile of fuselages and wings. You know, it's just, I would probably say if I topped out total figures for Transformers, I'd probably say maybe between 8 and 10.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
I was thinking you were probably double what I have.
Because, you know, if you just look at 20 BotCons, and since you know Funpub took over about 10 years ago, and let's say they've averaged 5 figures in a box set, that's 50 right there from just BotCon in 10 years, not counting the add-on figures, the bonus figures.
You can basically count 14 a year.
Well, I'm not counting the club either.
Not counting the club.
What I'm going to do after the show goes off the air, I'm going to count every figure that I have, and I'm going to count each combiner as each individual bot,
right.
not one combiner as one. I'm going to count each combiner as one individual bot. I'm not going to count heads for headmasters because that's part of the bot. I'm going to count each individual transformer that I have. Now, like the legends that came with a little mini con, I'm going to count that Minicon as one figure because that's a separate character. And I'm going to post it in the Facebook group on this episode just to see if my guess is anywhere near where I think it is.
Well, I'm going to go on record right now as saying I'm not going to do that.
That would take too long.
And that's the way it's going to go.
And here's the sad thing, guys. When I'm saying Transformers by Hasbro Takara, I'm not even counting my Brave. Because when I start, if I factor in Brave into that, and because Brave is basically, it is a Takara product.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's basically Transformers' cousin. So if you wanted to add that, if you want to count that, that'd be another 200 or 300 right there.
I was, you know, whenever I started on down on the Brave train here several years ago, I was unaware at the sheer amount of toys that is in that line or in those lines. I'm like, gosh, I don't think I could have ever got all of them. And I think at the end, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to get all the ones from Gal Gigar. And then I'm like, I can't find all the ones from Gal Gigar. So I'm like, screw it.
Well, no. You remember when I talked to you and I bought the one Brave toy?
Yeah.
And I told you, I said, I'm just going to buy one and we'll see how it goes and blah, blah, blah. Well, then I started looking into them. And there's a lot of neat ones.
Mm-hmm.
And
there are.
To be honest with you, if I had to pick one that I would keep, it would be that Pegasus one.
The Pegasus Saber? Yeah.
That thing is just slick.
That
but
is,
other than that one,
I like the Centaur.
I got rid of the one I had, and the main reason was because I said I'm not going to go down this road. There's just too many of them. There's just way too many.
There's too much awesome. I mean, King Jader is a beautiful. It's a magnificent toy, and I would love to have that one again too. But I'm just going to stay away from Brave because that is another crack habit I do not need.
Just remember, if anyone doesn't know who these guys are or how awesome it is, Didn't we do a show about Brave?
We did a two-parter.
Yeah.
We did a two-parter about a year
we had a lot of stuff in that, so someone should check that out if they want to know.
Because, you know, it's like, you know, I some of the pictures that aren't working, Dagwon is one of my favorite series, and it has, as much as I love Galgaigar, I like Dagwon Mecha better, because...
I like the Thunder Dagwon.
The Galaxy Shuttle remote. Yeah, so it's like if I was going to keep one piece, it would be because I've got the gift set that was Power Dagwon and Fire Dagwon in the slipcase gift set.
Nice.
You know, and I would like to keep that as one of the 500 I would keep. But again, just looking at Brave, you've got at least 10 or 15 toys for every line, and there was nine years of series. That's 100 figures right there. But, you know.
Yeah. Now, Jim, where is your collection been? Where is it going? And at its height, how many would you guess that you would have?
Where it's been in boxes, it's been on shelves.
No, I mean, as far as your general...
Over the years, it has been in a constant state of moving from place to place to place to place for over a decade because I move so bloody much. And that has been one of the single greatest causes of me losing my crap and not being able to ever find it again. But as far as where it's been... metaphorically, there have been times I focused on Generation 1. That was probably like as recently as like 2009 or 2010. And I had a shelf spanning the entire length of one of my den at the time. That just went from 84 on up to current. A couple years later, you know, that I'd sold off most of that, and my collection focused mainly on Creo. That's about the time I first started getting involved with the Creo Wiki. Right now my collection is focused mainly on the current Combiner Wars, some of the more recent generations like Brainstorm, Rhinox, Tankor, that type of thing. But I mean, it changes, it evolves, it moves and won't stop freaking moving from place to place. Like right now, I've got most of my Combiner Wars except for a few on my desk. And how we were talking about, you know, how many, you know, is in a collection. Right now, I was just eyeballing it while you guys were talking, and just having Superior Defense or Menasor, Magnus Megatron, Optimus Sunstreak, the Devastator, you know, just looking at those few, all together, 32 figures. That's four Combiners, a couple Leader Class, a couple Voyagers, 32 figures. You know, so, I mean, it's really surprising to see just how many, you know, figures you can have on a shelf and still take up so little bit of space. I mean, I've still got the biggest part of my desk here clear. You know? But like you were saying, 1,000 figures doesn't seem like a whole lot, and really it doesn't. You can have, just a few hundred and, you know, be able to fit it into one box.
Well, I mean, think about, Combiners. If you buy all five, all the Combiner Wars guys, it's like Menasor and Superion, you've got, you know, 10 bots right there. Actually 12 if you think of the extra characters that they add in. And then if you add in the Legions, you got 14.
Yeah.
You know, so, there's 14 in just two main box sets, I guess.
Exactly.
So it does add up rather quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had a number of people actually come in here and look at my collection, and they're like, "Wow, you've got a lot." And I'm like, "No,
I don't.
You
do not. No.
Well, it's like my girlfriend. Whenever she first met me, I didn't hide my collection from her because, you know, I'm full about full disclosure. It's like if you're gonna be with me and you want to know me, this is part of my life. And I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not going to hide it. If this weirds you out and you think it's crazy or stupid, then you shouldn't be with me. And I was of that mindset. I'm like, okay, this is going to make or break us. And she walks in here and she sees them all. I got them all lit up and everything. And she's like, and I'm like, oh damn. I knew she was going to like, this is like excessive. This is weird. You know? And then the next words out of her mouth was, this is awesome. And I'm like, I like this woman. And then like a month later, she was whipping out her checkbook and buying me Terminus Hexatron. You know, that's another little fun little story. But, you know, I didn't even ask for it. And she's like, you like that figure? And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, do you want it? And I'm like, I love it. I'd love to have it. And she asked Orson how much it was. And he told her, and she just whips out her checkbook and writes a check for it. And I'm like, huh? Is this mine now? But yeah, it's really awesome. But if you really stop and think about it, I mean, you know, if I was to look up at a Masterpiece shelf right now, I got the shelf that I'm looking at. I've got Masterpiece Star Saber, Masterpiece Red Alert, Smokescreen, Trax, Blue Streak, and Silver Streak. I got six figures on that one shelf. So, you know, they're large figures. And then above it, I've got Fans Toy Scoria, Soar, Masterpiece Magnus, Masterpiece Grimlock, Fans Toys Tesla, and that's all that's on that shelf, six figures. Mm-hmm. You know, because they're so freaking large, a lot of these figures take up a whole lot of room. And then don't even get me started on Metroplex. So, you know, who's doing the swooping motion in this shelf here. But I just got tired of looking at him all straight up there. But if you had to guess, what would you say is at the height of your collection, what would you say the number would be?
Oh, Lord. At the height of it, I want to say close to 300. And that wasn't even, probably as large as it was. That's just my best guesstimate. I know it wasn't anything like 500 or 600 or anything like that. I never got that large. One thing I had to my disadvantage, though, is I don't know if you call it sentimentality or foolishness or what, but I do not have it in my heart to throw away or destroy any official packaging or, you know, the thing like that with the Transformers brand on it.
I used to be
back a bubble, instructions, any of that. If I have it and I have that figure, I keep it. A lot of the times, if I'll try to get a figure, I'll try to find it loose just so I don't have to deal with that. Because I have been known to have 15 and 20 and 25 boxes containing nothing but boxes. And even then, some of those boxes contained other boxes. Mm. I put like the Legends class boxes inside the Leader class boxes just to save space.
Well, about the only boxes that I keep are of Masterpiece and foreign. If it's a foreign box, I'll keep it. But the current boxes that are on U.S. shelves, I tend to chuck those. So, yeah, but then you gotta have these like Masterpiece Fix It here. You know, it's like awesome.
Tell you how crazy it is. I actually have four.
Ted, make it rain. There you go. I can do that with instruction booklets.
But tell you how crazy it is. I actually, right now, in my closet, I have boxes for the Robot Masters. I believe it's Star Saber and Victory Leo. And the boxes for some of the auto rollers, the Korean-released auto rollers, like the jet, the little tank thing. I've never owned those figures.
How did you get the box?
Why do I have those boxes? I don't know.
Hmm. Jim Black coming out of the closet, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
I knew it.
All package and no product.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we've delved into our collections and talked about them and what makes them special to us. Some fun little stories. Why are we doing this right now? Well, I'm about to tell you. Here in a couple weeks, mark your calendars, December 19th, special night, special time. Well, not special time. It's a special night. You know, we're probably go live about 9 o'clock on December 19th. That's a Saturday. We're going to do a live gift opening. We've done a gift exchange here at TFYLP among cast members. We've all agreed to not open them once we receive them until that episode. And we're going to basically open the gift on air. Our reactions are going to be recorded. They're going to be real, whether we're elated, offended, you know, just absolutely blown away. It's going to be live on air. I'm sure there's going to be lots of crying, lots of laughter, and lots of good moments and everything. We're going to be adding to our collections. But then we're going to talk a little bit about our favorites and least favorites of 2015, the releases, both officially and unofficially, domestic and foreign. It's going to be a really special episode. The reason we're not doing it December 18th is because, well, Star Wars.
Yep.
So we're not even going to try to compete with that because, you know, nope. We know Thursday night and Friday night people are going to go see that movie. So enjoy the movie, everybody. And I know a lot of the cast will be going to see that too.
Yes.
So we're going to do it Friday, December 19th. It will also mark the final live show of 2015 of TFYLP. We'll go on hiatus until after the first of the year, the first week, first Friday of the new year, after New Year's Day. We'll come live again. And stay tuned for that. I'm going to try. I don't know how well I'll get to this, but I'm going to try and put together maybe a collage show of some funny moments and stuff of 2015, some of the guests that we've had on the show, some moments from there, and I might put that together into a video montage episode and a best of episode that I'll probably release Christmas week. The week that we're not actually going live. But the reason we do that at TFYLP is we know that family members come first. Cast members are going to be maybe traveling, visiting family, spending time with family, and I'm all for giving people time to do that. And so we are going to take that time off. But we got some special episodes coming up. I'd say, what's the December 19th? That's what, about 2 weeks now, three?
19th? From that? 3 weeks,
about,
I believe.
About 3 weeks, yeah. Yeah. So we got two more episodes and then that episode of 2015.
Fair warning to our listeners and viewers. That episode will more than likely have lots of loud clicking sounds as we're all playing with our new toys live on the air.
Yeah, but we're going to try to mute our mics while we're doing that as much as possible, so you're not going to be inundated with crickly crackly stuff. But about the only time you'll hear it is whenever each person is like unwrapping their gift. But I want to do something special and like hold up the box before we open it and try to make a guess as to what it is. Do the little box shake and say, hey, I think this might be Fix It, you know, or whatever, you know, and see if we're right. You know, a little game with it. Should be all kinds of fun and everything. Who knows? Somebody might get a bag of dicks or something. I don't know. But
which you can buy. They are little gummy things. And
Yeah, it's a thing. It is a thing.
I don't recommend it.
Yeah. Dawn is face palming.
Look it up, Dawn.
Don't want to. Can't make me.
He is spent.
It is quite hilarious.
Yeah, and sorry. With that, I think we are spent. You guys have any closing thoughts tonight?
I will say this. Collect what you like, guys.
Absolutely.
If you like it and no one else does, who cares? Enjoy it. Even if you don't have a huge fandom backing you up, if you like it and you're proud to have it on your mantle or your wall, or even in a box, you take it out and say, like, I love you, whatever, and then put it back in the box, put it in the cabinet, whatever the case may be. Just remember, pay your bills first, pay your necessities first, and then enjoy the hobby. Don't do it in reverse. It doesn't work like that.
We give our fellow castmate Plasticon a lot of grief for being a G2 whore, and but there's nothing wrong with that. That's what floats his boat.
Bad neon makeup.
Yeah, I mean G2. I like G2. It's cool. It's not my absolute have to have.
Well, that's where you're wrong, but that's okay.
But I like G2. It's fine. But see, that's what he exclusively likes, and it's what makes his collection personal. And that's part of what tonight. That's part of what tonight I was wanting to do is show what makes our collections personal. We look at our collections individually. I know my collection's always in the background every episode I'm on, and I've had numerous comments and messages sent to me. Love your collection. Ooh, what's that figure there? Can I still get that figure somewhere? I love the way that looks. Like that Predaking there, that Unique Toys Warlord. I've probably, ever since I've gotten that and put it in the case, I've probably gotten 6 messages regarding that saying, which Predaking is that and where can I get one? Because people didn't realize how awesome it is, so. Our collections is something that's personal. And leading into the holidays, a lot of us, we hope to get new figures to add to our collections. And I think it's a good time of the year to start looking inward at our collections and what we collect and why we collect it. And I thought that would be interesting to talk about. And I hope everybody's enjoyed tonight's show. It's not exactly one of the deep episodes that we've done, but I just wanted to have something that was entertaining out there for listeners and maybe something that you didn't know about our collections. Like I said, you see a lot of it. Brett's got his collection behind him every episode. I've got mine. I know Sideburn 2's got his collection back there. And people, sometimes while they're watching the show on YouTube, they'll sit there and look at the backgrounds and like, ooh, what is that? I like that. I like the way you got that set up. And it's not nice to be personal about it. So, guys, have any closing thoughts? Don, Jim, Brett.
Well, as far as the topic, I would say, like Don said, take care of necessities. Of course, that should be common sense. But ultimately, when it comes to a hobby or collecting, do what makes you happy. If something brings nostalgia, happy memories, enjoyable interactions with like nieces, nephews, kids, just do what you love, enjoy it, have fun with it, that's the purpose of it, ultimately. It's not always necessarily just because it's going to be worth X amount on down the road, all the time. There is still a legitimate passion for the brand and for the hobby overall. Mm-hmm. So have fun with it.
Absolutely. And we've been kind of a hodgepodge cast tonight. I know Brett's normally on the other cast and so is Dawn, but with Thanksgiving and a couple of us have been are away with family. I talked to Rick here briefly and he's actually quite under the weather. He is like hopped up on NyQuil right now. Cool. So he said, I apologize for not messaging you sooner, but he said, I've been in bed all day. So, get well soon, bro. Brett, thanks for joining us. Jim, Don. I know we mentioned this a while back. For you gamers that like to game on consoles or on a PC, we have a TFYLP community on Steam. Look us up, join that. And we also have a PlayStation 4 community. Actually, I'm getting, as soon as this episode is over and I count my collection, which hopefully shouldn't take too long, I'm going to be hopping on there. I know listener Sergio Garcia, he's going to be joining me, Jack Bruner. We're going to have a lot of fun times on there. So if you want to get on and game with those of us at TFYLP and fellow Transformer fans, get on and have fun. And it doesn't have to be Transformers Devastation. We're going to be playing Call of Duty tonight. So check
that out. I've got a PS2.
Huh?
I've got a PS2.
Can you get online with it? Probably not.
Nope.
No. So you're failed.
That's it. I use Steam. It's all good.
But just be aware of that, fans, and look for it on the platform of your choice, and I'm sure we got something. Eventually, I'm sure one of us will have an Xbox One, and we might start a community on Xbox One, on Xbox Live. So until next time, we'll see you next week on TFYLP. I'm sure Sideburn and the crew will have a great show for you. Hope to see you next time, and hope everybody had a safe time shopping on Black Friday today, if you brave the crowds, and have safe journeys. We'll see you next time on TFYLP. This is Weird Wolf. For the rest of the guys, signing off.
Later, y'all.
Despite appearances, I am not Brack.
Brack.
Oh.
Brett.
Bye.
Donuts.
Hey, my kid. I'm Brack. That's awesome.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.